live from the Chicago Sun-Times Reader Studios on Racine Avenue, this is The Ben Jarofsky Show. In this hour of the program, we still got Maya Dukmasova in studio. We're talking Lincoln Yards and more with Mr. Bike, David Glowatz. Yeah, we're probably going to talk about bikes. And now your host, not a committeeman, Chicago Reader columnist, Ben Jarofsky.
I am not a committeeman, but I am a bike rider, as is Maya and as is Dave Glowatz. We're going to bring Mr. Glowatz on in a little while. Maya, I've twisted her arm to stay because this conversation really is in her wheelhouse. But, wait. Hold on, D. I have to say, important announcement.
What is that? Okay.
Remember this from the old show? Independent journalist Dave Glowatz reports on local government at shigov.com. CHIGOV.com. He's also Mr. Bike, a bicycling instructor and author of the best-selling paperback, Urban Bikers Trips and Tips. All right?
Tricks.
What did I say?
Trips.
Oh.
Come on, Gerard. What kind of a trip would
Wait,
you say it?
Wait, time out. Did you bring your bell? Oh, man. I love it when he rings that bell, baby. I love it when you call me Big Pop.
No singing.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, we're taking the deep dive on Lincoln Yards.
Dave, I just want to say, Ben, I didn't know you were that kind of fan of Biggie. Oh. That's on some other level.
Man.
Wow. You are much younger than you seem, man.
That's the one rapper.
That's the one.
I've been,
hey, wait a minute.
About.
I knew Ice Cubes.
Oh, yeah.
Ice Cubes.
Plural.
No, Ice Cube song, I was going to say.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was a good day.
Sounds
anyway,
nothing
you know
like
that song? It was way before your time. Actually,
I know that song,
oh,
Ben.
You know
yes.
That song? Okay. I was going to say it's way before your time, but then I love it when you call me Big Papa. It was like, I think, before you were born.
No. But you're flattering me. No, it was not before I was
okay.
born.
Okay, well, whatever. We'll look that up later. Dave Glowatz, huge fan of Ice Cube.
One Ice Cube in Manhattan.
All right. Yeah. By the way, what about this studio, huh? Mr. Bike, Dave Glowatz.
I must say I'm really happy to be with you again on your journey.
On my journey, right.
Yeah.
My journey's had a few bumps along the way, but here I am.
I got fired.
And this is all yours, too. You know, you don't have to share it with anybody.
Dr.
I mean, you
Dean
guys don't have to share it with anybody.
Yeah, yeah. It is sweet. It's a beautiful place, and I'm very lucky.
And we could curse, right?
If you want to curse, you can curse. It's a podcast.
And
no one's
going to be that dirty sailor, Monroe Anderson.
Yeah, Monroe
Good
Anderson
Lord,
will be here Wednesday. Oh, my God. You got to really watch him. But
no, I'm just like wondering, you know, what is the restriction? When you were at WCPT, what words could you not say? You couldn't say f***.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, here we go.
You definitely couldn't say f*** Tony Brockwinkle.
Okay. Whoa.
Could you say p***?
Could I don't know. He was the guy who always
say that.
He was the one who pushed the button. Back in the old days, I get nervous when somebody would swear like Luis Gutierrez dropped the S. I still won't swear. I taught myself not to swear while talking into a microphone, and I just don't do it.
So does it feel a little dirty when I say those things?
Yeah, I'm like, whoa.
You know, that newspaper that you have spread in front of you, the Sun-Times,
my beloved,
I noticed.
Bright one, home delivered.
Printed the word a couple of weeks ago when Superintendent Eddie Johnson, the police superintendent, was reacting to the Jussie Smollett revelations. He had a press conference that he said, we're really pissed off about this. And the Times printed it instead of putting P
hyphen.
And the Tribune did that too. And I was like, didn't I get the memo? When did they start doing this?
I don't know. The
Reader has always been doing it.
Yeah,
well,
man,
sure.
We were doing it long before it was fashionable, okay? Because we're the Reader. And I love it when you call me Big Papa. but I don't know what that had to do with anything. But if you want to swear, you've already sworn. So if
the
you,
hell you
just swear. Continue where you are. But anyway, that's Mr. Bike, and he's kind of a radical guy. All right. So Maya and I were talking before you were ushered into the studio about what's going on in the city council. Maya was in particular telling me something about Rick Munoz's appearance yesterday at the finance committee where he was willing to second.
Low-key appearance as well. You know,
okay.
Until that moment.
All right. So moving away from Rick for the moment.
As many people want to do.
Yeah. Well, you were there, right? You were our ace.
All 6 hours.
All 6 hours. So tell folks what happened at that finance committee meeting yesterday on Lincoln Yards in 78.
As far as the Lincoln Yards TIF, which is called the Cortland Chicago River Tax Increment Financing District or Redevelopment Plan Area, this finance committee meeting was the penultimate step. In other words, if the TIF district had gotten approved at this meeting, then it would go for the final step, the full city council vote, and then it would be law. And the report was that if it gotten approved yesterday, it would go to the full city council meeting tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But right before the meeting, Mayor Emanuel issued a statement saying that he was going to acquiesce to Mayor-elect Lightfoot in delaying the TIF and see what she wanted to do. So when people showed up for this 10 a.m. meeting, aldermen were frantically huddling, trying to figure out, what do we do about this? So the meeting did not start at 10 o'clock. It started around 10:40. In the meantime, while the activists were celebrating, like, woo, you know, we're getting this thing pushed back.
Yeah. Wait, is that your imitation of an activist?
Most of the activists had contraltos, yeah.
Okay.
But meanwhile, Alderman Brian Hopkins of the second ward in which Lincoln Yards resides was not having it. So he had an impromptu press conference where he said exactly how he felt about this.
I can tell you the aldermen, every one of them, including the most ardent opponents, have been adequately briefed on this project. We've laid out in great detail all of the nuances, the subtleties. It's a very complex project. They've been presented with all the details. Their questions have been answered. Some of them have determined it's not worthy of their support because of that, but a majority have determined that it is worthy of support because of that. That's why we're having this vote today.
But, Brian, why not let the new council and the new mayor move forward with this when there has been so much controversy around it?
A legislative body doesn't work that way. When you have the support, that's when you call for the vote. That's what we're supposed to do. I'm not going to intentionally give the opponents of Lincoln Yards extra support for their position because I disagree with it. It's the wrong thing to do to the city of Chicago. Just like when New York City walked away from Amazon and said, no, thank you, we don't want all those jobs. And there's a backlash to that today. There's an outcry when people realize what folly that is. I won't let that happen here. This is the right thing to do for the city of Chicago. It's a no-brainer. It's the right thing for the city. I'm standing up for it. We need to do this now. We shouldn't be capitulating to the opponents who are misguided, misinformed, and in many cases are motivated by the wrong reasons. I don't believe that they should prevail today. The right side should prevail, and that's why we're going to pass this thing.
You're going to call for the vote?
I can't do that. I'm not in the Finance Committee.
What is the mechanism?
I have not spoken to Alderman O'Connor, but as I said, he's been a fair chairman his entire career. I don't see that changing at one of his last meetings as a member of this body. He will allow it to go forward.
But what is the mechanism for having it go forward if...
It's called a do-pass motion. It's just a motion to do-pass and then a vote before the body.
Who's going
to
carry it for you if you're not a member?
Actually, there's a few that have asked me that, you know, if they could be the one. So we'll see.
All right, let me just say one thing. I have to say one thing. Oh, my God. He said, quote, New York City walked away from Amazon. We don't want those jobs. Folks, that is not what happened.
That is not what happened.
Amazon walked away from New York City because New York City dared Maya, dared Dave,
no, but even,
dared to say, we want to look at the fine points of the contract and the deal that was cut.
And on top of that, it was New York City, it's the opposite of what he's purporting it to be. They had approved this thing, and then there was an uprising of people who said, no, we don't want this. And then the council was moving in the direction of doing the right thing, which is listening to this uproar of people. Then Amazon walked away.
New York did not walk away from Amazon. Amazon walked away from New York because New York was daring to take a look at the fine points of a deal that had been cut behind closed doors by the mayor of New York City and the governor of New York State. And that people finally said, can we take a look at what we're paying for? There is a comparison, Dave, between what went down in New York with Amazon and what's going down in Chicago. In other words, a deal has been cut in the city of Chicago that the people of the city of Chicago really don't understand how it affects them and impacts them. And he wants Brian Hopkins to shove it through the city council before there can be more scrutiny on it, how it impacts them.
And there's an Amazon backstory for Lincoln Yards as well, because Sterling Bay, the developer of Lincoln Yards, after the Amazon call for proposals went out and the city declared these six or eight locations, two in the suburbs and the rest in the city, you know, like Michael Reese and North Branch and the 78 as potential sites for Amazon, secretly, Sterling Bay put together a package for Amazon with beautiful color illustrations showing proposed buildings in Lincoln Yards for Amazon, saying, come to Chicago.
Yeah.
That eventually got leaked, but they were running around in the background trying to make it happen.
Absolutely. So in each instance, in both with New York and with Chicago, they were wooing Amazon. And you're right. You're absolutely correct Lincoln Yards would have been shoved to the side if Amazon had said they want to come to that site. Then we'd be talking about the Amazon deal in this general
area. Well, I don't know if it was shoved to the side. It would just take on a very different dimension. It would have even more of a rushing train, if that's possible, element to it.
All right. Whatever project they have for that area would have been centered around, structured around an Amazon headquarters. Okay, fair enough. Boy, did I get fired up when I heard him say, we're not going to be like New York walked away. New York finally had some oversight.
No. He was saying that what happened in New York was the right thing, that New York walked away from Amazon and that that was the right thing to do, and approving Lincoln Yards is the right thing to do. And therefore, we shouldn't succumb to...
Your
brain is turning inside out. And it should, because that's this was like the classic flipping the script, double speak bullshit.
Absolutely. Everybody's swearing now on the Ben Jarofsky.
Don't get pissed off.
All right. So they held off. There was no vote.
It was a little bit of drama. Eventually, when the meeting started at about 10:40, the chair, Alderman Pat O'Connor of the 40th Ward, who became the chair after the former chair was removed.
And that former chair's name is?
Ed Burke.
And he was removed why?
Something about an indictment.
He was indicted by the feds for allegedly shaking down a Burger King franchisee for property tax business.
He joined the club, as it were.
Yeah, but he got reelected by the people in the 14th Ward. Go ahead.
So the first thing that Alderman O'Connor said is that what we're going to do is we're going to take this item, this Cortland TIF proposal, and we're going to delay the vote until Wednesday morning, which was the same day that the full city council was scheduled to vote, saying we're going to have the discussion today about the Cortland TIF, but then we're going to recess and reconvene because they can't have a new finance committee meeting because they have to give 48-hour notice. So they decided they're going to recess. And what he said was they're going to give Mayor Emanuel and Mayor-elect Lightfoot time to see if they have all the information. I think you put it another way this afternoon on the phone when I talked to you.
Yeah, what did I say? I can't remember.
Cut a deal.
Yeah, cut a deal. All right.
And, and that's what transpired. So now this drama that was set up was that Alderman Hopkins had already said, despite that, that he was going to, A, not only press for a vote, but B, he had allies mm-hmm. on the committee that would call for the vote if O'Connor...
Rignos, maybe?
Well, but here's the wrinkle, Maya. The committee is 35 people, members, and the city council rules state that for any vote to be taken, there has to be a quorum, namely at least half the members, which is 18, mm-hmm. which they had at the outset. But then after public testimony began, the attrition started. They all started filtering out, and it never got back to 18. For the point at which Alderman Munoz called for that move to a vote, there were three people. There were three committee
including
members.
Himself?
Yeah. And Alderman Wagasback told me during a break that if that happened, he would call quorum. Because the rules are such that if there isn't a quorum, the committee can still opt to vote, to take any action, unless somebody calls it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The city council rules say, quote, shall be competent to adjourn, unquote, if somebody decides to call it out. Mm-hmm. Wagsbeck said he'd do it. So it was ill-fated at that point. It wasn't going to happen.
All right. So you said something. We're getting the weeds here, but I love the weeds. Many weeds. 48 hours. So in other words, you have to have full 48 hours to call
a committee meeting.
Correct. Yeah. So has he officially called the meeting for Wednesday?
No. So again, the technicality is they didn't call a new meeting. They recessed at the end of the Monday meeting.
Oh, they're slick.
Reconvene. They've done it before.
They've been slick
I'd say you should be surprised.
No, that's a classic Chicago. Oh, Ben, you should say something's illegal. But Ben, that happens all the time.
No, I'm just saying you shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I'm not that's surprised, I'm but they are slick. So in other words, they recessed. So what they can do is call the meeting back to order Wednesday. Is that correct, Senator?
Yeah, and then take a vote. But they had all the discussion on Monday.
Nobody will be able to comment further, right?
Well,
Wednesday morning.
Well, they could do whatever they want, right? But O'Connor probably will not suffer people in the finance 50 committee.
50 more people delivering 3-minute screeds about Lincoln Yards.
Well, that's public testimony. The aldermen can talk as long as they want.
Valid point.
If they have the finance committee meeting at 9, the full council meeting is scheduled at 10. So that's where, you know, aldermen can grandstand for and against.
Forever.
Forever.
And just let me remind everybody out there that this is a lame duck session of a lame duck council serving under a lame duck mayor dealing with a very lame issue that's going to suck us with some huge taxes. Just so everybody knows, Pat O'Connor, who Dave mentioned is the chairman of the Finance Committee, was defeated in April's runoff, as Maya knows. Andre Vasquez is the incoming alderman from the 40th Ward, and Andre Vasquez is opposed to the 78th. Rick Munoz, who showed his support for the plan, is himself a lame duck alderman. He did not run for re-election, and the person who was elected in his place, Alderman Mike Rodriguez, is opposed to the 78th. So it's this interesting, Dave, that the aldermen who are going to be have to shelling out the money or having to vote on the taxes to compensate for the money that's going to be shelled out for Lincoln Yards and the 78, those aldermen will not get a say if there's a vote on Wednesday. Am I correct on that, young man?
Yes, and which is one of the arguments that some of the critics have made, that the new people are about to be seated in literally weeks. So why not let it wait? You know, this is the same story with Obama's nomination to the Supreme Court. The new president's going to be coming in.
So, yeah.
I'm being facetious.
Maybe they're all angling for legislative affairs consultant jobs with Sterling Bay.
That might.
And they're going to have
so
plenty of money.
Cynical. Yeah, we're paying for that, by the way. There's $25 million in the budget, as Dave knows. Dave and I are the only people in the world who actually have read the redevelopment agreement. Well, presumably Lori's team of lawyers have read it by now. But there's $25 million set aside for lawyers for Sterling Bay and their PR flags. We're paying for their PR flags, Dave. All right. As I understand it, Pat O'Connor has said that if Lori Lightfoot says she does not want this vote to go through, he will not call it for a vote.
He didn't say that.
He didn't say that directly? Go ahead.
He said that we're going to give the mayor and the mayor-elect time to figure out if they have enough information to let this proceed.
Okay. So if she says we don't have enough information, then what does he do?
Anything could happen. But there's some more interesting aspects of this to me around is what is some of the questioning that took place during the committee meeting?
Okay, talk about that.
How much time do we have? 5 minutes?
No. Look at the clock. What do you think? The bossiest bike rider I've ever seen. He's like, comes in swearing. Now, how much time do we have?
Well, there's
relax,
some,
chill
some
out,
really
man.
Interesting aspects.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Trying to decide which ones are the best to.
By the way, let's say goodbye to Maya. She has to go. She's pressing business. Yeah, Maya, we'll see you next Tuesday, right?
And yeah, you got 5 minutes.
All right, go ahead. Calm down.
There are a couple things that aldermen gave voice to that you and many other critics of tax increment financing have made many times, but I seldom hear these arguments in the city council.
Yeah.
And one of them is this thing around blight, which you've railed against.
Yeah.
Namely that when the city wants to create a TIF district, wherever it decides it wants to create a TIF district, it will hire a consultant to show that the area is blighted, even if it's right along the Chicago River, which is prime real estate.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Which is what they did here.
Uh-huh.
And this is the point that Hairston made when she was talking. She's the 5th Ward Alderman on the south side, and let's hear what she said.
I'm still concerned about this being, quote-unquote, blight. Just because it's vacant does not necessarily make it blighted, because it is not in a blighted neighborhood. If you want to look at blight, I've got several areas in my ward or other places on the south side where we have it. So I'm still concerned about that.
So, Alderman, I just want to draw your attention. We've put up a couple of photos of the site. And as you can see, this is vacant, unutilized, infrastructureless land.
Which doesn't make it blighted.
Yes, under the statute, it does make it blighted.
Well, it makes it vacant. And we can
it
argue about that because if you have a multi-million-dollar vacant land, it still beats a $25 vacant land in another neighborhood.
Who is she talking to?
She's talking to Commissioner David Reifman.
Oh, Reifman.
The head of the Department of Planning and Development.
Yeah, man, I know Reifman.
Former tax lawyer.
I know a thing
DLA
or two
Piper.
About TIF. Yeah, he was a TIF lawyer.
And he's a very articulate defender of this this
right,
tax increment financing district.
He ducked and dodged that issue. The issue, I mean, the statute. A statute could say anything. A statute could be, well, I don't know, it's articulate. Yeah, statute says if it fits the definition of blight, then it's blighted. But the statute could be manufactured and gerrymandered. that anything would fit. So that's not really a great defense.
So it was interesting to hear finally, to me, I don't know if I've any alderman has ever made the case in city council before, but it was interesting to me.
No, she did a great job. You're absolutely correct. And by the way, Leslie Hairston wrote I don't know if you saw this, a Law Review article. Somebody sent it to me not too long ago about TIF programs, a very learned Law Review article dealing with some of the issues that you're just raising here about the questionable language in the statute that are just rife with loopholes so that, you know, anything could be termed, like, so you could play the game that Reifman's playing. Well, it says in the statute that, you know, a wealthy land could be blighted, then it's blighted, huh?
And there's an even sort of a more higher level argument about whether the TIF subsidy is needed to begin with.
Yeah.
And that was another argument that came out by Alderman Brandon Riley. The downtown alderman, the 42nd ward. Again, this is an argument that you and many others have made around when you're developing in a place like along the Chicago River, you know, whether it's by Roosevelt Street or by North Avenue, that's prime real estate. And if you didn't give Sterling Bay a subsidy, the argument goes, there are plenty of other developers who know they can make money there. And Riley gave an example of this.
Several years ago, we had a developer right here downtown near Wacker Drive, actually just across the river from it, with land that is above the Metro Railroad tracks. A lot of diesel pollution, very difficult to develop, a lot of complex engineering to build decking over these railroad tracks that can bear the weight of a skyscraper. And when I did an intake meeting with that developer, it was made very clear to me that unless we gave that developer $20 million in TIF money to assist with the decking of that project, this could not go forward, and this would forever be blighted railroad tracks and diesel fumes for the neighbors nearby. And I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. We're not satisfied. This does not pass the but-for test we apply to TIF requests downtown. I'd encourage you to go back to the drawing board. And what I can tell you that happened is some 3 or 4 months later, the same developer came back and said, Eureka, Alderman, we can build this without the TIF. And I'm not suggesting that this is an apples-to-apples comparison.
No,
but again,
it's
our responsibility and our fiduciary duty to the taxpayer to push and prod and squeeze as hard as we can to make sure that when a developer is going to go and do a very ambitious development, which I've supported, that they're also owning some of the costs that come with improving that site, because ultimately their land and their investment will benefit from those improvements.
And mind you, this is coming from the alderman in whose ward many of these TIF largesse gifts have been bestowed.
Yeah, well, and it was particularly so with his predecessor, Burt Nateris. Let me just take a moment to zero in on what Brandon Riley was saying. What he's saying is just because somebody comes to the city and says, give me X amount of millions of dollars, doesn't mean they need it. What he's saying is that the city should exercise its oversight powers and its authority to determine whether that subsidy is really necessary to develop that project, to develop that property, or is it just a gift, essentially, a handout to a developer who has the clout. And he's pointing out that in many cases, you don't need the money. So if a developer tells you he needs the money, it doesn't necessarily mean that he actually needs the money.
So imagine if part of this Lincoln Yards site, the south part, which was formerly owned by the city, the fleet management location.
Oh, yeah.
If the city had not sold it to the first buyer, like Sterling Bay, and said, you know what, we want to put this out to bid. We want quotes, we want proposals for people who will develop this without subsidy. Do you imagine that they wouldn't have any bids? You know, it's just hard to imagine.
This is, as Dave said, prime riverfront, Chicago riverfront property. This is already rising in value as we speak without any subsidy, and it is, as Reifman said, vacant. Why is it vacant, Reifman? It's not vacant because nobody wants to develop it. It's vacant because the person who owns it is waiting for the city to hand over a few billion dollars to underwrite the cost of his development. We know what's going on, Chicago. It's vacant. Well, so? It's only vacant because he's waiting for...
It's a synonym for blighted.
No, it's not a synonym for blighted. Oh, my goodness, man. So that is some good stuff. You have any more clips?
I got one more. Do we have time for it?
Yeah.
One of the things that is lost in all this, I think, is that what the council is actually approving, this particular TIF district is manifested in 6 ordinances. Mm-hmm. And one of them is called the Redevelopment Agreement, which details how Sterling Bay, the developer, is going to get paid for its first set of infrastructure projects. When I say that, I'm saying that they have agreed to build bridges, streets, part of the 606 trail extension and get reimbursed by tax increment.
And get reimbursed, did you say?
Yes.
Get reimbursed.
Because it's city infrastructure that they're building. Okay. They're going to front it. So this document, this one ordinance, the redevelopment agreement, details that. In fact, I wrote an article about it recently that listeners can find at shygov.com. One of the things that I noticed is that, first of all, just listening to these aldermen question Commissioner Reisman in the meeting, some of them had not read the ordinance. Mind you, it's 600 pages. Mm-hmm. But 400 of the pages of that were economic disclosure statements by the 20 entities that are stakeholders of Sterling Bay. And the second thing is the document is detailed and rather opaque. I had to go, I didn't have to, but I did go to bond attorneys and experts to try to decode what's going on in this document. So it's kind of stacked against these aldermen because they'd really have to dig deep. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that impressed me is Alderman Smith, who is the 43rd Ward alderman.
Alderwoman Michelle Smith, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there is no municipal code that defines the word alderwoman.
Yeah, but Sue Garza says, always call us alderman. I do what Sue Garza tells me. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So anyway, Smith's ward is directly to the east of Lincoln Yards. So that's why she has a stake in this. And here she is grilling Commissioner Reisman.
Whatever it is, $487 million for infrastructure.
That's now, a subsidy.
The assumed interest rate on that, the maximum is 7%. That is about $600 million in interest over 23 years. Isn't that correct?
You're saying if they got interest on day one and didn't build the improvements over 5 years?
I'm asking how much in interest costs are we expecting? You must have spreadsheets and
But it's very uncertain for a lot of different reasons. Number one is, we will not issue notes that accrue interest until the improvements are completed. So that eliminates a significant amount of that. After a certain lockup period, which is no more than 5 years, we can prepay amounts on the note. These are all decisions the city council can make going forward. We can turbocharge the payments, meaning that we can choose to apply more to pay down the interest rate faster. We can have additional increment beyond what we expect to pay down those costs. Like any financing, mm-hmm. it's paid with interest, but the exact amount of interest doesn't know. We have estimated it at a certain amount just to give everyone a sense of what it could be, but that will depend on when the improvements are completed, when the monies come in, how fast the development develops.
So how much interest are you estimating as of this moment?
I give you the same answer. It depends on when the notes are issued and what type of interest rate we apply and whether we turbocharge or don't turbocharge. Okay. It could be as little as $200 million.
And that's the money right there.
As little. Hey, man, it's easy for Reisman to say he's about to leave. You know, he's going out with Rahm, and that's, he's like,
so just
my God.
Just a little context.
As little as two. Boy, you see how long it took to pin him down?
Well, and I edited a lot of it out, too. So
the
he actually
turbo
went
charge.
For quite a while.
And you deduct the turbo charge from the turbo charge. And
so just very quickly, it's about $490 million that they're going to reimburse Sterling Bay to build the infrastructure. But that document doesn't define all this interest costs. And it has never been defined anywhere until finally Alderman Smith got Commissioner Reisman to say the number.
Yeah, so I would hope that one of the things that Lori Lightfoot, when she has her team of lawyers pick apart, maybe Sterling Bay should pay its own finance charges. How about that?
We don't even know what those are either, because they're fees, too, on top of that.
If, like Reisman says, it could be as little as $200 million, Sterling Bay, let them kick off. It's only $200 million with the turbo charge, right?
I got bad news for you. The TIF is going to pay for all the financing.
We don't
know what the number is.
No, but the current deal, and one of the things that Lori Lightfoot supposedly doing is having her lawyers, that's what she said, she's going to read through it. And so maybe they'll say, for instance, they could, the Ben Jarofsky suggestion, the way TIFs are structured, all the taxing bodies contribute money to them, we could pull the schools out. You take the schools out.
Like
we did with the transit TIF. All of a sudden, the schools are not losing money to Sterling Bay. And so when Sterling Bay finally starts paying property taxes on the property once it's getting developed, the school gets their share.
And I believe it was Alderman Osterman in the committee meeting asked about that. And Commissioner Reisman said, well, that's a transit TIF.
No, what? That's no answer. You can make this like the transit. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Reisman is earning his keep.
He's earning.
All right. Dave Glowatz, Mr. Bike. Excellent job as always. One more time. Independent journalist Dave Glowatz reports on local government at shygov.com. He's also Mr. Bike, a bicycling instructor and author of the best-selling paperback Urban Bikers Tricks and Tips. He's the man, the myth, the legend. We're going to bring him back probably next month to talk about this in greater detail. You okay with that?
Yes, thank you.